Heavenly Father, what a great reminder. What a great comfort that song is. That Christ holds us fast. That we are safe in Him. That we are precious. We were purchased with His blood. That He sits at Your right hand advocating for us. What a great Savior we have. Thank You for the reminder. Father, I pray now as we open Your word and we continue to know more of who You are. We continue to know more of Your Son. That we would be guided by Your Spirit. Our lives would become different. The gospel more clearly lived out and more clearly proclaimed. You're a great God, and I love You. Amen. Good morning, Grace Fellowship Church. I am hopeful that your week has been filled with a few themes. I know mine has. I hope that your week has been filled with a reminder that Christ is better. Christ is better. A number of times this week that thought came into my mind, that Christ is better than the things of this world. I played golf this week twice and with a friend of mine from high school, and it was fine. Christ is better. I didn't know that at one time in my life. Golf was great. Christ is better than the things that used to garner my attention and draw me to them. And I was reminded of that this week. I was reminded this week of grumbling and complaining and the pattern of the world that it is and how prone I am to want to grumble and complain and how that complaining and grumbling brings no glory to God. Makes me just like the world that I live in. And I was reminded of that throughout the week. I was very thankful for that because it enabled me to stop grumbling and complaining in the moments I was remembering that. I was reminded repeatedly this week of the unforgiveness of the world, the pattern of this world being just one of unforgiveness. I just was noticing because of last week's message is just noticing how unforgiveness is just rampant. It's just a way of life. And that what I was reminded of this week, I can forgive. I was so thankful that I can live in a place of forgiveness because I've been forgiven. And I was reminded that it wasn't me seeking forgiveness from God. It was Him granting me that forgiveness in Christ. So it's not people seeking my forgiveness. It's me granting them forgiveness. That's how I've been treated. And I was reminded of that. And I'm hopeful, beloved, that throughout your week, you're remembering these things that we hear on a Lord's Day morning and a Lord's Day evening. That they're actually changing your life. Because as Elder Nick or Tyler or myself would be up here preaching faithfully, then this word is to change us. And we ought not just come and be here and go on and forget all that we've been told. Isn't that just being hearers and not doers then? I was very thankful this week. I got to be a doer of one who did not grumble and complain as much. I got to be a doer of living in a place of forgiveness. I got to be a doer of looking to Christ as my fulfillment. That's my encouragement to you. It's why when we go to lunch, whoever I go to lunch with, we talk about something we got out of the sermon. My desire is that we be imprinting something on our minds, on our souls, on our memories, that we actually would live differently because of something we heard from the Word of God. I want that to be our practice. I know it's happening, but I guess I just want to encourage you and give you specific ways this last week in which my life was different. And by the grace of God, we'll always be different from last week's service. And that will be true of today. Whatever it is that God has for me and us, it will change how I live. That my mind would be renewed, that my life would be transformed. Romans 12:2. Okay. Last week we did a general overview of the book of Leviticus, more the Levitical sacrificial system. And we also did a overview of the book of Hebrews to give us a foundation as we start into now digging into more at ground level the book of Hebrews, and remembering that we have this theme of Christ is better. This theme we're going to see throughout the book of Hebrews, and that Christ is better. So the writer of Hebrews, he doesn't start how many of the epistles or the books of the New Testament start, at least the epistles. It doesn't start out with a salutation or a greeting. He starts right into saying that, starting right into to a topic. And what he starts right into is he starts right into the fact that God has spoken. No. Salutations, no greetings, no grace and peace. It's right to God has spoken. Let's stand, and we're going to read Hebrews 1:1 through 4, which is the text we will look at today. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Stand as we read the Word of God, please. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. You may be seated. God has spoken. God has spoken in a most perfect way, in a complete way, through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is what we are to see. That is what we are to see here, that God has spoken, and he has spoken in a more perfect way, in a more complete way, through his Son, Jesus Christ. So the first thing we see is that God has spoken in the past. It talks about God's past revelation, which we will see is incomplete. Now, it's not untrue. It's incomplete. Let's start by reviewing the definition of the Bible. The working definition of the Bible that we use at Grace Fellowship Church. God's revelation of himself and his interaction with his creation. Specifically, his interaction with his own special people. So the Bible is God's revelation of himself and how he's interacted with all of his creation, and specifically how he's interacted with his chosen people, his special people. So the Bible is God's revelation of himself. And so it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Various times and various ways. Greek words are palermos and polytropos. Various times. Palermos means fragmentary, in many parts. In various ways, polytropos, pertaining to that which occurs in many kinds of ways. So God, in the past, has spoken in fragmented ways. One piece here and one piece there. And he's done that in many different ways. So, God has spoken in times past to the fathers in different, in fragmented pieces, in different ways. Let's look at what that's talking about. Look at Genesis 15. Verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Now, how God spoke to Abram was in a vision. Vision is makese. It's a vision in an ecstatic state. It's a mystic state. So it's a dreamlike or a trance-like vision. This is how God appeared to Abram in a vision, in a trance-like, dreamlike way, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus?" Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. So God spoke to Abram in a vision. And what did he say? Verse 4, he said, "Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your body shall be your heir.' Then he brought him outside and said, 'Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them.' And he said to him, 'So your descendants shall be.' And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness." So Abram heard from God in a vision that where he was promised to have millions of descendants. And this was a man who was past childbearing age, as was his wife. And he was promised by God that he would have millions of descendants. So Abram received a vision or a dream, and he was given a piece of information that he would be the father of millions. Which is, by the way, you and me, isn't it? But he didn't know that. He just was promised, and that's a piece. That's a fragment of this way God has spoken. And then on to Genesis 17, verse 19. "Then God said, 'No, Sarah, your wife shall bear you a son.'" So this is after he had a son with Hagar. He had Ishmael. He said, "No, your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year." Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So here's another piece. Here's another fragment. Here's another piece that God spoke to the fathers. He spoke to Abraham and told him that the promise, the covenant, would be with Isaac, not with Ishmael. His unborn son Isaac, who would come from Sarah, that's who the covenant would be through. So it was another fragment, another piece of information. So Isaac, he has Jacob and Esau as his sons, and Jacob is blessed by Isaac. So then Jacob, he sends Isaac to Paddan Aram, to Laban, to get a wife, right? He sends him back to Paddan Aram to get a wife from his own people. And this happens. Genesis 28, 12. "And then he," Jacob, "dreamed." So he had a dream. Jacob had a dream. "And behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. And in you and your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you.'" So God speaks to Jacob in a dream. Another fragment. Jacob was promised land for his inheritance, that his descendants would inherit this land. Another piece. Now, so then that was just before he had entered Paddan Aram. Now then, as Jacob was leaving Paddan Aram to go to Bethel, Genesis 35, "Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, 'Your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name.' So he called his name Israel. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. Here's another fragment. Here's another communication of God to the fathers. He tells Jacob that no longer is your name Jacob, your name is Israel, and you're going to have a descendants, and out of those descendants are going to come kings. 2 Samuel 7. We see another way God spoke. Look at 2 Samuel 7, verse 4. But it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan. Now, who was Nathan? Nathan was a prophet. God spoke to Nathan the prophet. Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, who would build a house for me to dwell in. So God spoke to Nathan, a prophet, and he sent Nathan to talk to David. So this is another of the various ways that God spoke to his people through this prophet Nathan. And he brought with him another fragment of information. 2 Samuel 7:10. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, that they may dwell in the place their own and move on and move no more. Nor shall the sons of the wickedness oppress them any more as previously. Since that time I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused you to rest from all your enemies. Also the Lord tells you he will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. In verse 13, he goes on to say, I will establish his kingdom forever. So another fragment. God spoke through the prophet Nathan to David to say, the king, the forever king, will come from you, David. Isaiah prophesied to the very same thing. So another way he spoke was by these prophets directly to the people. So Isaiah was a prophet that spoke to the people. How did he hear from God? Isaiah 1:1, the vision of Isaiah. The word there is kazon, and it's the same root word we saw before. It means a vision in an ecstatic state in the night. So this one's more specifically a dream. So Isaiah had a dream. That's how God appeared to him. That's how God, in various ways, communicated to Isaiah. The son of Amaz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. So God appeared to the prophet Isaiah in a dream, a vision in the night. And then what did Isaiah say on behalf of the Lord? Look at Isaiah 9:7. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So David, who was a son of Jesse from the tribe of Judah, Isaiah 11, chapter 1, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Down to verse 10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. So we have another fragment. We have another piece of information. So God speaks in these various ways, through dreams, through prophets, through visions, speaking directly, and in various ways, various times, he gives various communication. He gives these different pieces. So we've gone from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Judah to David. All fragments, God spoke in various ways to his peoples. But do you see how all of these things are incomplete? It's incomplete. When we just know Abraham, that doesn't get us all the way to the Messiah. It doesn't get us all the way to Jesus Christ. So he keeps adding. He keeps progressively telling us about himself. He keeps progressively revealing himself to his people in various ways with these little pieces of information. Look at Micah 1:1. The word of the Lord that came to Micah of Moresheth in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. So the word of the Lord came to Micah, and Micah had a vision or saw what would happen to Samaria and Jerusalem. So here's the next fragment of information. Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, Yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. So what's another fragment that we get through Micah? We get through Micah that Jesus, the Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem, which obviously came to fruition. But that piece of information is building upon all this other information that God has given. The next fragment was the prophet Hosea. Now, these are not all of them. These are just ones I picked out. So this is just another fragment that comes in the book of Hosea, another prophet, about the coming resurrection of the Messiah. Hosea 13, 14, I will ransom them from power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction. Pity is hidden from my eyes. So this Messiah would come and he would overcome the power or the sting of death. So it's another fragment. Look at Zechariah 1. Zechariah 1, 9. Then I said, my Lord, what are these? So the angel who talked with me said to me, I will show you what they are. So Zechariah was visited by an angel. Another of the various ways that God has spoken to the fathers in times past. And the information that he gave to Zechariah was this. Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So Zechariah says the Messiah is going to enter into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey. Well, that's exactly what Jesus did, isn't it? So the writer of Hebrews is saying, God, in various ways, different ways he came to them, and with different pieces of information, spoke to the fathers, spoke to our ancestors through the prophets. And this is, and what he brought was this, these pieces of information. So we're seeing this progressive revelation that God has in the Old Testament. And people had faith in the Old Testament. But if you simply had the Old Testament, would you be able, without the information that you have in the New Testament, without the coming of Christ, would these things be clear? Well, Jesus would say no, because he came to fulfill all of those things. But you have this way that God spoke. And this is what the writer of Hebrews is telling us. We see this progressive word of God. It's, again, it's not less true. There's nothing untrue about it. It's just less complete. And the more that comes, the more complete it becomes. And then we see that the revelation set, that revelation, okay, that kind of revelation set against God's direct revelation or complete revelation. That's what the writer of Hebrews is now going to show us. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Time past, palai, long ago, pertaining to a point of time preceding another point of time with an interval of considerable length. What the writer of Hebrews is writing somewhere around 68 A.D., after Christ has died and risen and ascended, he's writing and saying, a long time ago, thousands of years, and remember there's a 400-year break between Malachi and Matthew, a long time ago, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, giving them fragments of information in different ways. Has in these last days, eschaton, it's where we get the word eschatology from. The final age is another way that could be translated. Who in this final age, the final period of time, last days in Judaism, brings to mind the eschaton of the final period of the revelation of God. So in other words, the writer is saying, a long time ago, thousands of years ago, hundreds of years ago, God spoke. and how he spoke was in different ways, and he gave pieces of information. But now, in this final age, in these end times, in these last days, the culmination of this, God has spoken to us by his Son. John 1:18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is the bosom of the Father, he has exegeted him. He has declared him. He is fully exegeted. What the writer of Hebrews is saying is, all of this partial, incomplete information led up to this fulfilled or complete revelation that we received from the Son of God. Paul writes in Colossians 1:25 through 28, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which he has given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery, which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is the mystery? Now again, a mystery is not something that's unsolved in Greek. It's something that was hidden, but now has been revealed. He says, the glory of the mystery is this, Christ in you. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The Old Testament was a mystery. It was veiled pieces of data that were leading to something. And what was leading to was the solving of that mystery in Christ, the completion of that mystery in Christ. All of the communication of God is now completely clear and full in Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:12. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. So listen how Paul talks about Old Testament prophets. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. In other words, all this communication God gave in the Old Testament was veiled. And it was unveiled or became clear in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. This is why Jews can't be saved. Well, they can be saved. This is why Jews that stay with their Judaism aren't saved, because they're only looking at the Old Testament, which is a veiled picture of the Messiah. Christ came and spoke, and they ignored him. The completion of this Old Testament was Christ speaking, and they ignored that. But even to this day, when Moses read, a veil lies on the heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. See, beloved, we read our Old Testament, it can make sense to us. But it can only make sense to us because we know Christ. If you don't know Christ, the Old Testament still can't make sense to you. Old Testament was veiled communication that's now clear in Christ. Moses' revelation was incomplete. In Christ, the Old Testament becomes crystal clear. Without Christ, the Old Testament is still veiled and incomplete. There's no completion to it. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age is blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts, and give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The glory of God, the fullness of his revelation, the salvation of men, the completion of the Old Testament is in Christ. So all of this talk that God did in the old days is being set against the last days where Christ has spoken. Where God has spoken through Christ. Ephesians 3:1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he, Jesus, made known to me the mystery. Christ spoke to Paul, and he revealed to him the mystery that was the Old Testament. As I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages were not made known to the sons of men, as it now has been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. What was spoken? So the writer of Hebrews says, God spoke in times past. A long time ago, God spoke. And he spoke by the prophets. He gave fragmented information as he appeared or he made these revelations known in various ways, whether it's through dreams or visions or angels or speaking directly. And that was incomplete. But now, God has spoken completely, fully, when Christ came. That is God's complete or full speaking. So he says, okay, you've got these Old Testament writings that were God speaking. They were God's words, fragmented, piecemeal, came in various ways. Now he has spoken once and for all in his Son. So now the writer of Hebrews says, this Son, let me tell you about him. Let me tell you about this Son that he's now spoken through. Let me tell you about the person of Christ. First of all, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. First of all, the complete communication, this full revelation of God is coming from his own Son. Psalm 2:6. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. This message is not coming through prophets in a veiled manner. It's come through God's own son. It's better. And not only is he God's son, but because he's God's son, what is he? He has been appointed heir of all things. So this one who God has spoken through now, the person we know as Jesus Christ, this Son of God, he is the heir of all things. Psalm 2:8-9, ask me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. God's Son, who is the full revelation of God, is the heir of all things. That's who this is. Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created, there in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Everything that was created for the Son. Everything that was created, this messenger, this word, the way God has spoken now compared to the way before, this one, this person of Christ, guess what? He is the inheritor of all things. Everything you can see and can't see was made for him. That's who's spoken. I hope we start to see a theme. I'm not going to really spend time, but what a bunch of nonsense people want to say they hear from God and their prophets today. Why would there need to be a prophet today? God has spoken through this. Let me tell you, the writer of Hebrews says, let me tell you about this one that God has spoken through now. He is God's son. He is the heir of all things. Everything was made for him. Spoken to us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Not only is Christ the heir of all things, he is the creator of all things. This person, Jesus Christ, who has spoken. He is the creator of all things. See, the Hebrews knew, the readers of this book knew that God had created all things. I mean, it's obvious, right? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. By the way, Elohim, plural. So we have a plural God creating all the earth. But see, they didn't realize this. They had one God, and then Jesus said he is God, and no, there's only one God. Well, there is only one God in three persons, but they didn't have that, right? Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, because God the Son was there. Psalm 121:2, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So the writer of Hebrews is communicating the reality of God's Son, Jesus Christ, is the creator of all things, and therefore he is God. Colossians 1:16 again. Paul writes this, for by him, Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him. So God the Father spoke, God the Son created, and God the Holy Spirit empowered. He's telling these readers, Hebrews, Christ is better. You have the Old Testament. That's the God you are trying to serve. You are looking for the Messiah. Christ is the fulfillment of the completion of all of that. He has spoken finally in Christ and through Christ. So he's spoken through his Son, the heir and the creator of all things, who being the brightness of his glory. So the person of Christ is the brightness or the radiance of God's glory. The word is apagasma. And it means radiance or effulgence or brilliance. It means a brightness taken to the extreme, dazzling, stunning, overwhelming. So the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the one we're going to talk about throughout the book of Hebrews, this one that I'm introducing to you now is the way God has spoken now, finally. He is the brilliance or the radiance of God himself. He is the brightness of God. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He goes on, and the express image of his person. The express image of his person. Express image, the Greek word is character, or charakter. The character, the express image of God. It means a stamp, an imprint, an exact representation, a tool for engraving. It was a word they used that you put a stamp on something, you'd get the exact image of whatever it is you were stamping on there. A perfect replication of. A perfect replication, the character of his person, God's person, hypostasis, substance, nature, and essence. God the Son, who has spoken in these last days, is the essence of the exact nature of God in heaven. So God spoke to these prophets many years ago. He gave fragmented pieces in different ways. And now the very express image, the very essence of God, God himself, the creator of all things, the Son of God, the heir of all things, he has now spoken through him, through that person. Remember Jesus talking to the 11 that we looked at in John 14. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Jesus Christ is the express image, the exact essence, a duplication of God in heaven. That's how God has spoken through something that contains all of his radiance. Through he's spoken through this person who created all things, who's going to inherit all things, who is the Son of God. He has spoken. The heir of all things, the creator of all things, the brightness of God, the same essence and nature as God. And what else he does? He sustains all things. It says, and upholding all things by the word of his power. This Christ, this person that God has spoken through finally and completely, he sustains all things, carries along all things. To this Hebrew audience, to the audience of this, and to us, by the way, this ought to just blow our minds. Psalm 135, 6, whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and in earth. In the seas and all the deep places, he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. 1 Chronicles 29:11, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Jesus Christ, the one whom has spoken, he sustains, he created and sustains all things. This is a repeat for some of you from years ago, a sermon, but I think it's really interesting. The sun can hold 1.3 million Earths. You could take 1.3 million Earths and put them into the sun and have room for squashed down moons too, but you could put 1.3 million Earths into the sun. If you were to travel at the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second, 186,000 miles, 86,000 miles, 186,000, every time, 186,000 miles. If you were to travel at the speed of light, starting at one side of the Milky Way from 7,000 years ago at creation, you'd have strapped onto the speed of light and you started traveling from one side of the Milky Way, which is the galaxy we're in. And by the way, scientists would say there's 100 billion galaxies. Now, look, these numbers I can't even comprehend. But we have a galaxy, the Milky Way, one of billions of galaxies. Ours is quite a small galaxy, too. But if you were to get on travel at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, to travel across the Milky Way from 7,000 years ago, you would be less than 10% of the way across the Milky Way. Think about that for a minute. This planet Earth, 1.3 million of these Earths would fit into the sun. We sit in Davenport, Iowa. Think about this in relation to the Earth, which then 1.3 million of these Earths go into the sun. Think about the Milky Way that we're in, that the sun is just a tiny little dot in. If we were to travel by the speed of light from one side of the Milky Way to the other, in 7,000 years, we would not even be 10% of the way across. And God, the Jesus Christ, the person who spoke, who completed the revelation of God, is the one who created and sustains all of that. All sustained by Jesus Christ who has spoken. And we need prophets? We need modern day prophets to tell us more? Paul writes in Colossians 1:17, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. All things hold together. All things stay together. This is who Christ is. And then this person, Christ, the writer of Hebrews goes on to then tell us what the God of the universe, what the completion of all the revelation of God, the express image of God, the radiance of his glory, the person of Jesus Christ, you know what he did? He himself purged our sins. The writer of Hebrews says, this revelation, him, he purged our sins. Katharismas, purification, ritually cleansing, ceremonially washing. Our sins are dirty. They are repulsive to God. They must be cleansed. Remember, we looked at Leviticus last week, Leviticus 16:30, talking about the Day of Atonement. From on that day, the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all of your sins before the Lord. Yet that didn't work, did it? The Son of God, through whom God has spoken, purged our sins. 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. This Christ, the writer of Hebrews says, this Christ that has spoken, the Son of God who has spoken, he purged our sins. God himself, who created that galaxy I just talked about, who created planet Earth, who created you, that God who sustains all those things and created all those things, he himself purged our sins. He himself cleansed us from our sins. And you need more revelation from more people? That's who talked to you. That's who has spoken. And after that, after he purged sins, what did he do? Sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Christ is now sitting and ruling. Hebrews 10:11. Every priest stands, ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away the sins. We'll look at this more probably. I'm sure we will, but maybe you already know this. In the tabernacle, or in the temple, where was the seat that the priest would sit in? In which room? Where was the seat the priest would sit in? There was no seat. Because he could never rest. Because he had to continually offer sacrifices. But this God, the Son of God who has spoken, who has given complete revelation, you know what? He sat down because his sacrifice was sufficient. He's now seated because he is the great high priest. His job is finished. His job of redemption. But he sits at the right hand of God. Psalm 110:1, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Remember, we talked about this before, but in Judaism, the right hand was the position of power. If you sat on the right hand, that was the position of power. Matthew said this in Matthew 26:64. Jesus said to him, It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds in heaven. He has this exegesis of God. This full revelation of God, this complete last days, end of the story revelation is the person of Christ. And this person is the Son of God. He is the heir of all things. It's all made for him. He is the sustainer of all things. He is God. He is the radiance of the glory of God. He is the exact nature of God. He is God. And this person, Christ, who spoke, this person, Christ, who fulfilled, this person, Christ, who is the complete revelation of God, the better Christ, him, that God, he purged your sins. And guess what? Now he's sitting at the right hand of God, ruling over all things. Verse 4, having become so much better than the angels, And he has, by inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they. He is superior to the angels. He's better than the angels. Now, this actually seems like it ought to be the start of next week's sermon. Because next week's sermon is going to go into angels. For a while, we're going to be in what the writer of Hebrews does. But all this is like a bookend to the first paragraph. He has said, God spoke through the prophets in different ways at different times. And then he talks about the person of Christ. And then he says, who's far greater than the angels. Because the angels had a big influence on God's work. Exodus 3:2. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, Moses, in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. An angel sent by God told Moses to go and demand that the Pharaoh let the Israelites go. Look at Acts 7:38. This is he, Moses, who was in the congregation in the wilderness when the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with your fathers, our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give us. So the Jews knew that these angels were used greatly by God. Look at Galatians 3:19 to see Paul write about the angels. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of the mediator. The law was given to Moses via the angels. Hebrews 2:2, for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. In other words, these angels were the ones who brought the message from God. And so he starts out about the prophets, and he ends up talking about the angels. Look at Galatians 1:6-9. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who you called you, the grace of Christ, to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches another gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. He said, even if an angel comes, because angels talk for God. And even if an angel came and gave you a different gospel, it is no gospel. Why? Because the centerpiece, Jesus Christ, has spoken. There's nothing more to be said or exegeted about God's revelation of himself. These words spoken by prophets and angels in the Old Testament, they were incomplete. They were fragmented messages given in various ways, piecemeal to a conclusion. Well, the conclusion is in these last days, God has concluded all of this in Christ. Christ is better. How much greater and more complete is his message than the message of the Old Testament prophets and of the angels? He is God. Which of the prophets was God? Which of the prophets had the full story? Did the prophets even know what they were prophesying? No. They didn't even know what they were prophesying. They were each given some little piece. So we get Abraham, and then we get Isaac, and then we get Jacob, and we get David, and we get the root of Jesse, and we get Judah. We get riding on a donkey. We get born in Bethlehem. We get all these pieces that have to be put together, and where do they all come together? Christ. God has spoken finally and completely through Christ. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Let me tell you about this Son who's spoken. He is the Son of God. He is the heir of all things. Through him also he made the worlds. He is the heir of all things. He is the creator of all things. This Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, he is God himself. He is the radiance of God, came to be a man, the radiance of God, the fulfillment, the perfection, the express image, the exact duplication of God himself, the same essence and nature. and upholding all things by the word of his power. He upholds the whole universe and all the galaxies. And us right here, he upholds all of it, this Christ. When he had himself purged our sins, he purged our sins. He sacrificed himself. This God, above all things, indescribable, God himself, the radiance of his glory, the creator, sustainer of all things, he himself died. He sacrificed himself to cleanse us from our sins. And when he got done, he sat down because he was finished at the right hand of God where he rules. This is the God who has spoken. Having become so much better than the angels, and has, by inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they. The name of Jesus Christ, the name above all names. Do you see? Writer of Hebrews says, Do you see Christ? Do you see who he is? He has spoken. God has spoken. Closing thought. God has spoken. He has spoken through one better than the prophets and better than the angels. Christ is better. He is the complete exegesis of God. He is the complete manifestation of God's revelation. There will be no more revelation of God until the promised return of Christ. There's no more to be heard. Chapter 1 of our confessional statement. At the chapter 1, paragraph 1 of the Holy Scriptures, last line. Those former ways of God's revealing his will unto his people being now ceased. If anyone believes they are going to or need to hear from God in any other way than through Christ who came to live, they are delusional and heretical. God has spoken. You will not get a fresh word from God that is not consistent with the Scriptures. We do not have modern day prophets that are going to tell us any more than we already know. God has spoken. He has spoken through the one better than the prophets and better than the angels. He has spoken completely and concisely. God has spoken through his Son, Jesus the Christ. God has spoken. Are you listening? Here's something practical for us today. Are you listening to God? Are you trying to hear something different? Are you searching the Scriptures to see how you'll have more money or better health? Are you searching the Scriptures to see how your marriage could be better? What are you searching for? Are you listening? Everything we need for salvation and sanctification is here because God has spoken. And you know who he spoke through? This person we just looked at today. Look, I know we're not a bunch of charismatic Pentecostals around here. We don't have anybody in this place, I don't think. Maybe we do a couple visitors that think that we need prophets and fresh words. However, we can be guilty of looking other places to try to hear from God, finding different answers than we find in the Scriptures. Because when it tells us, when Scripture tells us, when God himself, Jesus the Christ, whom we looked at today, says to us, he who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves children more than me is not worthy of me. Don't think I came to bring peace, I came to bring a sword. You will be persecuted and hated. This is what he says. He has spoken. You going to look for something different? Then you ought to look and see who Christ is. The writer of Hebrews just gave us, again, that this could be 15 sermons. This two verses in the middle of the person of Christ. But suffice it to say, God has spoken. It is the complete, concise word of God. We have been given all we are going to be given, and it is enough. God has spoken. He has spoken through one better than the prophets and better than the angel. He has spoken completely and concisely. God has spoken through his Son, Jesus the Christ. God has spoken. Are you listening? My last plea is to those in here today who don't know Christ. He has spoken. The promises of wrath and judgment are sure. Your ability to come out from under the wrath of God is not possible. He has spoken. And yet, this Christ, the one we talked about, he purged the sins of those who would believe on him. You have been cleansed from your sins if you believe on Christ. But if you do not, you will face his wrath. You are under his wrath and you will stay under his wrath and you will receive his wrath. And when you want to read, you want to read the Old Testament and the judgment of God and the wrath of God, that is what is upon you. But Jesus Christ purged the sins of those who would believe. God has spoken. Believe what I'm telling you. I'm telling you the truth. And when you stand before God someday, if you have not believed on Christ, you will believe, you will remember what you were told. And you will pity this day. Father, you are such a good God with such a perfect plan. What a great reminder of your revelation to us, how you spoke in creation as we see it in the scriptures. You spoke and things were created. You spoke through the prophets. You gave pieces and pictures and types and shadows and fragments of this fulfillment of all of your revelation that came in the person of Christ Jesus. May we see him, hear him, believe you, believe in him. All for your glory, all for his sake. Amen.